Our virtual tour begins today in the year 1870 and at St. Canice's Cathedral in Kilkenny. Appropriate that I should begin at one of the mother churches of the diocese and of course the one that is nearest to me, just over the garden wall, as it were. And when we have travelled through 150 years, I shall be back in Kilkenny again and speaking from the context of the chapel in my own house. But that's a long way ahead. Before we begin, let's just reflect prayerfully on the ministry and mission of St. Canice's Cathedral, its witness to parishioner, pilgrim and tourist alike. And perhaps in a particular way, as we travel through history, we remember how the very stones of the cathedral have travelled through history. They are almost silent witnesses of events through the centuries that involved pain and pestilence and persecution and violence. And perhaps the contemplation of this place might allow us to hope for a certain measure of resilience and perspective in the travails that currently face us. So let us not be dispirited, and let us, like the cathedral itself, travel on. So back to 1870. 1870 was very much the time between the times in regard to the matter of disestablishment. The axe had fallen in Parliament some months beforehand. The Act of Disestablishment was to be implemented on the 1st of January 1871. So in the year 1870, there was a lot to adjust to and a lot to get done. And of course, the idea of the time between the times is very biblical, because in many ways, the Gospels are about a time when in Christ the kingdom has broken in, and yet the fullness of the kingdom is yet to be at the eschaton, at the end. Time between the times. Sometimes I think this particular year in relation to Brexit in Ireland, we're living in a kind of time between the times. The United Kingdom has left the European Union, but there's a period of transition before all the practical effects of that leaving take effect at the beginning of next year. However, the church's leaders, despite all they'd been through in 1870, were not like rabbits caught in the headlights. They had a lot of practical things to do. There were a few complications that year. For example, there was a vacancy in the Diocese of Kilmore twice because two successive bishops died but months apart. But looking at a bigger picture, they had to consider the future governance of the church, how they were going to set up a general synod, how a newly independent, autonomous church was going to do necessary revision of the liturgy, how they would set up a financial scheme, how they would set up a constitution for the church. And so they had a major representative gathering in Dublin known as the General Convention, which in many ways was the midwife and the forerunner of the synodical governance of the church that we know, and which put in place the emergence of the constitution we still work under, and which showed remarkable leadership, it has to be said, particularly on a financial and practical level from the laity. We remember the General Convention of 1870 and its significance at every institution and licensing of a member of the clergy to this day, because one of the things clergy entering upon their office have to do is to assent to what's known as the Preamble and Declaration, which was a kind of almost title deeds of the ethos of the disestablished Church of Ireland, which was articulated before in the General Convention they set about their work. And somehow it articulates the abiding flavour and self-understanding of the Church of Ireland for all the coming years. It began rather sonorously, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Whereas it has been determined by the legislature that on and after the first day of January 1871, the Church of Ireland shall cease to be established by law, and it has thus become necessary that the Church of Ireland should provide for its own regulation. And so they go on to make clear that they are not setting up a new church, that they regard themselves as an ancient church of this land, that they will maintain the historic threefold ministry, that they will maintain communion with the Church of England, from which they're being in a way legally separated, but this is a declaration which aspires to communion with churches beyond this island in the context of what rapidly emerged all over the world as what we know as the Anglican Communion. And all that was done at the General Convention points towards the governance of the church that we know to this day. The Church of Ireland, deriving its authority from Christ, who is the head over all things, doth declare that a general synod of the Church of Ireland shall have chief legislative power therein, and such administrative power as may be necessary for the church and consistent with its episcopal constitution. So there's a lot there, and you can't understand the Church of Ireland, its atmosphere, its governance, its historic trajectory in the subsequent years, unless you have a sense of the courage and sense of purpose that was manifested in the time between the times in 1870, and how it still makes sense that everyone ordained or licensed to this day still has to sign up to what they did.